welcome back to Vox Burner's Youth Trends podcast. This week's guest is Will McDonough, VP of Brand and Commercial Strategy at Copa 90, the world's largest independent football and media business, with over 2.8 million subscribers on YouTube alone. Vox Burner's founder, Simon Eder, gave Will a call ahead of YMS New York, where he'll be joining our influencer marketing panel.
Hey Will, how are you?
Simon, how's it going, my friend?
Yeah, good, good. Very excited to speak to you today, and more excited to see you in a bit less than a month.
I'm excited to be invited to the party.
Good, good. Great to have you at party. Good. So, Will, great to speak to you, and maybe you could share a bit about your background and your role at Copa 90.
Sure, of course. So I sit right now as the VP of Brand and Commercial for Copa 90, primarily on the U.S. side. And so what that really means is commercially, I'm tied to making sure that the partners that we're aligning ourselves with, the products or the offerings that we're giving them, all suit up and make sense for what, you know, what we're going after as a brand. And then from a brand side, or we'll call it more from like an editorial angle, I'm just making sure that as we continue to grow, as we evolve, that the essence of what Copa 90 is and then being for this like fan first type brand, that those things are ringing true. That, you know, so as we merge or evolve and move to something new, that we aren't losing sight of who we are as a brand, that we aren't trying to chase something that isn't us, and that if we are making something, we're doing it with what those core values are. And so, you know, in a lot of ways, that ends up crossing back and forth between the commercial and the brand side. But again, just being one person, making sure that everyone's sort of aligned on the objectives of what we're looking to do. And so I've been sitting in that role now for about 2 years at Copa 90.
And obviously, Copa 90's key success has been with the youth demographic. What are the kind of factors that has been a part of that?
It's a good question. Really, I think you can distill it down into two. I mean, there's probably a few more, but really there's two for us. One is we're a distributed media business. So essentially that means all of our content, everything is going across multiple platforms. And so you have to make sure that you understand that platform that you're on, that you actually understand that demographic that's on that platform, and you have to understand a way to actually speak to them in the way that they want and knowing what they're looking for, and especially as it pertains to football or soccer. And then from a brand side, we feel like the way that we sort of, if you understand the platform and you go, okay, I get all these different types of audiences, I understand the way that these people are talking to each other, I sort of I know what the different demographics are, great. So now you've sort of familiarized yourself with the platform. Then what we look at it is the essence of really Copa 90 is this beautiful thing that we say often is like everything outside the 90 minutes makes the 90 minutes matter more. So effectively our brand sweet spot isn't telling you like what happened. You don't follow us on Twitter to get the plays of a match or updates on players or what have you. But instead, we focus on providing context, and that context of that match or that player or that particular moment is really what we excel in. And I think that's what a lot of fans are looking for, is they don't want you to tell them what happened. They want your perspective, your take on that. And that's really what we do. And so, you know, and that can extend even further than it's just being around the game. It's those things that circle outside the game. It's the cultural context of something. It's the historical matchups of a big derby. It's the crossover of what players are wearing now, what they're listening to, like what are those zeitgeisty things that permeate into the game. And those are the elements that Copa 90 just we live for. And that's the way I feel like we connect with our fans, because you're taking something that they already love and connecting it with something else they love as well. And that could be music, art, fashion, et cetera. And like those are the two areas. So I think it's understanding where they're at and the places and spaces that they're in. And then I think it's just doing it in a way and being true to like our brand and our brand connect to them in the way that they want to experience stuff.
Understand. Now, obviously, you know, this year we've had the World Cup, and more people than ever before have been watching through streaming and video platforms like YouTube and so on. How do you really see the way that fans are going to be watching and engaging with sport going forward, like, say, I don't know, in time for the next World Cup?
So, like, 2022, right?
Right.
Short answer is I have no idea. No, I mean, because in a way things change so fast, it's hard to say, like, what 4 years, you know? I mean, you think about, like, what something like Instagram has done within 4 years, and you're just like, holy cow, from the moment it launched to where it is now, you know, it's completely changed the whole vernacular and the way people talk or the way people act in a way. So I think it's, you know, I think within 4 years and how fast things are changing, it's hard to say. I will say the trend is that it's going to continue to get wider and further reaching. I think it's not going to be as deep. You know, if we look at it like the World Cups of before the big internet boom, so like, you know, 94 World Cup or 1990 World Cup, those were very deep channels, like television broadcast. That was as deep as it went. You know, then it was like newspapers. Like that's how people consumed it. You know, now with the explosion of everything is, you know, we saw in 2010 Twitter was the World Cup platform, right? And then there was even metrics coming out by just how much people were talking on platforms, and they were saying that, you know, this is a measurement of how much the sport has grown. But I think what you're going to see now is you're going to continue to see this widespread reach. And in some ways, that puts a lot of power back into the end user. That puts a lot of power back into the fan. I think it probably makes a lot of rights holders a little bit nervous or freaking about, like, how are we going to live across all these different things? But for us, for Copa 90, that is actually our sweet spot, because as things expand and everything continues to move, if we continue to make our promise, which is to be like sort of like the definitive youth media business, and making sure when it comes to soccer or it comes to football, that as those places get wider and wider, we'll still be able to be there. And we could be there in a way that we know that you know us, you know, you like us, you like our tone of voice, you like our perspective. So I think in some places people are a little bit like, how are we going to manage all this stuff? And we've been born up in that world of, well, we have to build an audience. We had to build our audience kind of like with our own two hands, essentially, on, and we've just then now scaled that across multiple platforms. So where things can feel a little bit kind of wild, wild west and it's hard to control all that stuff, we see that as an opportunity that our brand is essentially our IP. That is what people know of us. And so our tone of voice, making sure that stays true across all these platforms as they continue to expand and move, and some die, some of those platforms will go away and new ones will pop up. It's important that if that kid's on that platform, they know that Copa 90 is there and we get that follow.
And obviously in building out Copa 90, you've been really successful with working with influencers in the soccer fan community. How do you decide who to partner with? And what have been really your learnings so far in working with digital content creators?
You know, it's funny because, like, okay, so we think of, like, the content creators as essentially fans. And we start thinking about that as initially as, okay, this is someone who makes content or has an audience or whatnot. But what we've kind of, I think what we've learned recently is that all creators, or I'm going to use quotations here, fans, have value. And they've got a lot of value in a lot of different ways. And I think that's what we've been really strong at doing so far. And we need to continue to perfect that. But we understand, like, a lot of fans bring a lot of different things to the table. We can find people who can actually do physical things. We know people who can show up that are big fans. They can create content. They've got a little bit of a following. That's awesome. But then we also know that there are people out there who have great stories to tell, that they're passionate or they're knowledgeable about one particular thing. And that's really, in some ways, is more valuable because we can go in, let's say it's a certain project that requires us to tell like a very local story. Well, it doesn't do us any good to go in there and try to tell it from my perspective, a guy living in New York, when I'm trying to tell a story of, like, you know, Southern California or East London. Like, I have no idea about that, but people in that area do. And if we talk to them and we get that story from them and we put it in either in their voice or we cross-check to make sure, like, hey, does this sound right? Is this the angle we should be taking? You're bringing yourself back to that level of what we're trying to go for, which is, like, authenticity. And I feel like that's a big buzzword out there. But for us, authenticity is not trying to project our opinion on everyone. Our authenticity is like, listen to what that individual is saying and help tell their story. And so that's what we really focus on when it comes to our creators. So we look for people who've got audience, sure, but let's not shy away from the people who maybe they don't. And if they're really smart and they understand something, like, there's definite an inherent value in, like, how we can leverage that. Because at the end of the day, we have to continue to understand our audience, think about the way that they're connecting to the game, and then ultimately make sure that, you know, as they grow up and they continue to move on, that, like, they see Copa 90 as a trusted brand. And the only way to do that is by listening and working with them versus trying to project or push something down on them. It just, you know, we've all seen that, and, like, people grow out of those phases. And what we want to build is we want to build affinity across the board. We want that 16-year-old, 13-year-old kid who's playing FIFA, who's, you know, playing the game, following us on platforms, to that person who's like, okay, now I'm traveling, I'm going to the World Cup, and I want to go out and experience those things and be a part of it. Like, we want that person all the way through.
So don't just think top-down, but bottom-up. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a good way of putting it. It's just, you have to think about this as, like, we're not just trying to go after certain fans. We want all fans. And I think we want all fans who are, like, and especially in the U.S., like, that's kind of, like, the crazy thing that we have here is, it's growing at such a rate, but, you know, if you still look at soccer in the United States, it's still at a really small comparison in terms of size that we have to the NBA, the NFL, and, you know, or MLB. When we look at it as a brand who's playing in this kind of emerging state, this growing newborn, you look at it as a way of, like, okay, well, let's set out to really understand the fan better than anybody else in soccer. And if we do that and we build that connection, then we could be the go-to brand that's alongside them as they go on that journey from new fan to, like, diehard supporter. And that's, you know, sort of what we're going for, because that's what we are, is, I think, as, you know, employees here, is, like, we're all passionate about what we have in front of us. And what we want to make sure is that we're continuing just to ask the questions of, okay, what does that fan in the United States want? What does that fan in the UK or Europe want? What does that fan want in, like, Central America? Like, let's figure that out. So if otherwise, the brand won't grow if you're not really knowing who you're talking to or why you're talking to them.
And now maybe just moving on to brands and how you work with them. What are really the opportunities for brands who want to engage, you know, the soccer fan community through Copa 90?
As a business, we have three different things that we do. One is branded content solutions. So we have our audience, we have our day-to-day editorial that we're doing, but then we have a really great way where we can weave in natural branded pieces that we've worked with, you know, and these are, you know, working with Heineken and Adidas over here in the U.S. and working directly with Major League Soccer and the wonderful partnership we have with them. You know, it's providing solutions that people who want to connect to that audience. We also have the ability to say, you know, there are some brands out there who are already pretty hip on the soccer world, and they're creating their own stuff, and their help is like, hey man, we just need to get the scene a little bit better. Like, you know, we just don't have the distribution channels because there isn't massive opportunity, or there aren't massive brands here who are solely dedicated to soccer in the United States. And that's what Copa 90 can provide, and even sometimes way more valuable than, say, like the branded content pieces, our media solution. And that is us working through our fan network there, where we can drive additional views across multiple demographics or targeted audience, depending upon what your goal or that might be. And that is something that we've been building, or we're continuing to build, but that just continues to show the value that the brand actually has beyond just making some really great pieces. It's like, make a really great piece. A lot of people can do that. Okay, make a great piece that everyone can then see. That's the issue. And so that's what we're working on too. And we know that if we have that issue, which we do, and we have to continue to grow, we know other people do too. And so that's how we can work with brands to making sure that the stuff that they are building or they want to build can get seen to the audience they want to hit. And then lastly, I think probably our creative and audience strategies, you know, sometimes it isn't about making a pretty film and then getting it out there. It's actually being like, what are you trying to achieve? Like, who are you trying to hit and why? And have you even asked yourself, like, are you looking in the right spot? And so, you know, we provide that solution to brands as well, which is we do a lot of that stuff before we even have made a piece of content. And sometimes we don't. And that's just us working through what they want to achieve. The end of it is we hope that we bring them in and it's kind of like a full circle solution. But those are sort of the areas that we work with brands on regularly.
Well, it's been great just hearing your exciting journey and all the exciting plans that you have. In our final section, I'd like to move on to our quick fire round of questions. So
okay,
here goes. First one is, what's been the moment of your career so far?
I'd say making that decision and then actually getting to do it, which was moving into soccer. Just seeing that opportunity in the United States and being like, oh man, this is massive. And then jumping on that wagon and actually someone giving me a shot. So that's been pretty big for me.
Right. And what's your favorite app and why?
Right now it's Instagram. I've got three kids, a wife and three kids, and it's probably, I use it like, someone said it today or yesterday, it's like, it's a great way to scrapbook. And I'm much more of a visual person, so Instagram seems to be my go-to right now.
And something that few people know about you?
My deep love for country music. Deep, deep love.
Look forward to listening to some with you at YMS. On which note, what are you most looking forward to about YMS?
I would say probably just meeting people, meeting new people, and kind of like hearing some of the experiences they've gone through. Like, you know, sometimes it's sort of hard to know like what objective to go into when you go into some of these conferences. But I think just knowing there's a lot of people out there who might be a little bit smarter than me, have, you know, better experiences than me, or have experienced maybe some of the same things as me, and just kind of hearing their perspective a little bit is just keeping you on that learning path is probably what I'm looking forward to the most.
And there'll be plenty of that, lots of opportunity to meet all sorts of people, and the fusion that comes with that, I'm sure, will be great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Well, great talking to you, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, guys. And as Simon mentioned, YMS New York is now just a few weeks away, and there's still time to join us if you've not got your ticket. So visit us at voxburner.com for more details and use the code PODCAST10 to secure 10% off your pass on checkout. Have a great week and look forward to seeing you back here on Monday.